The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Masechet Rosh Hashanah has been sponsored by Mr. Sawley and Cheryl Mizrahi. Hashem Aleihem Yihyu for the Hatzlacha of both of their families, for Be'ezat Hashem, health, happiness, Parnasa, continued success, and of course, much nachat and pleasure from their children. Yiratzon, in the zechut of their dedication to the Masechet Rosh Hashanah, they will be zoche for good judgment, they will be zoche for good beracha and mazal in all their endeavors. Amen.
Amen.
Daf Lamed Gimal. Today's daf is being studied le'alun nishmat Avraham ben Esther ruach Hashem tanihanu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied refuah shelema Eliyahu Chaim ben Shafia el na refanalo for the nefesh and for the guf ulfuato kerubad abo v'chen yirasov v'nomar. Amen. Begin today's daf on Lamed Gimel Amud Rishon on the top line. We learned in our Mishnah regarding the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah said that Ben chotchin oto. We are allowed to literally cut the shofar. Ben bedavar shehu mishum shevut. Whether the cutting is going to involve a rabbinical isur. Ben bedavar shehu mishum lo tase. Or whether it's a deoraita isur. Either way, one cannot cut the shofar. So comes the Gemara and says, ואין חותכין אותו בין בדבר שום משום שבות ובין בדבר שום משום לא תעשה. So the Gemara is going to give us the examples of what we're talking about. Now, לשיטת נשי, the discussion is that when you're scraping the shofar, which means you're making the hole in the shofar in order to make it usable. So the isur over here would be an isur of makeh bepatish, which is you're adding final touches, you're making the keli a keli. So now, what's the case where it's the oraita, and what's the case where it's the rabbanan? So the Gemara says, "Mishum shevut magla," which is the case where it's going to be assumed the rabbanan is we're using a sickle. Normally, you don't use a sickle in order to fix a shofar. So that would be considered makeh bepatish kelahar yad, that you're using it in a different way, therefore will be issud rabbanan. Lo ta'aseh, the case of lo ta'aseh, sakina. It's talking about where you actually use a knife, which would be the normal way to fashion the shofar, and therefore would be issud deoraita. So the Gemara is the obvious question. Hashta mishum shevut amart lo. Lo ta'aseh mebaya. You told me that even issud rabbanan, one is not allowed to do in order to fix the shofar. So certainly you cannot use a deoraita fashion, meaning a knife. Why does the Mishnah have to tell me the deoraita? For already told me that even the isur of the banan is forbidden. So the Gemara answers, zu ve'en sarich lomar zu ketani. The Mishnah is using a style like we learned on yesterday's daf. Zu ve'en sarich lomar zu, which gave you the obvious case, which is the Haidush case actually first, and then it says as if it's saying I told you this, and it goes without saying this, but it doesn't have to really tell you the second case, because once you tell me the first case that Isud Rabbanan is Asur, it's obvious Isud Oraita is going to be Asur as well. That's the way that she understands the Sugya. However, Rabbeinu Hananel has a different understanding of the Sugya. He learns when it says Chotchin, it's not talking about Lachtoch to fix the Shofar, he means it's talking about we're actually cutting the shofar off the animal's head itself. And the isur of it would be kotzer. That's the isur. And based on this, he has a different reading of the Gemara. Because normally, the normal derech of kotzer is with a sickle. So therefore, he holds that the sickle is isur deoraita, whereas the knife, it's not the normal way to cut, let's say, wheat from the field with a knife. So that would be the shvut. So it comes out, we have a fantastic machloket amongst the Shonim, Tinashi and the Rabbeinu Hananel. What is chotech? And based on that, we have a different version of the Gemara, based on what is the isur deoraita, and what is the isur derabbanan. Comes the Gemara and continues, aval imra. Mishnah said, if you want to put water or wine in the shofar, now what would you do that for? In order to smoothen it out and make the sound clearer. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Ma'im o yayin in. Mashma, that it only can use water or wine. However, meraglayim lo. However, meraglayim, which is the urine that a person would put it in. Now, why would a person put that in? Kanid'eh, it did something. Karaid made the shofar sound good. So what's the difference? So the Gemara says, what's the reason why you can't put it? Manitin mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Abba Shauli, Detanya, Abba Shaul Omer, Mayim o Yayin Mutar, Kedel Sahsehom, to clean it out, to make it smooth. However, Meraglaim Asur, Mepenea Kavod, which is even though it does the same thing, it's like Kavod, to put the Meraglaim in the shofar and then use it for a mitzvah. That is a machloket amongst the Hachamim over here when it says the Meraglayim, exactly what we're talking about. And the Kolbo learned that there was actually a wellspring called Meraglayim, but it was water. According to the Be'er Sheva, he says no. This is talking about Meraglayim actually. It brings a proof from the Yerushalmi that says that regarding one of the situations in the Ketoret,
exactly,
that they could have used Meraglayim to clean one of the spices. And the Gemara said over there, V'halo Meraglayim Yafinla, Ela She'em Maknisim Meraglayim B'Mikdash B'Nei HaKavod. You see, Meraglayim over there was talking about actual Meraglayim. So that's where Be'er Sheva learns. The Shita Mikubetzet understands that there was a certain esev, a certain herb that was called Meraglayim, and they didn't use it only because it's a Ganai. The name is a Ganai. And then we know you shouldn't use something that has a name that is a Ganai for these things. Comes the Gemara and continues. And Ma'kevin et atinokot medet kawa. We learned in the Mishnah that we do not refrain the children from blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Hanashim ma'kevin. The children, you let them blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. However, there's somebody else that you're going to refrain. Who's that? The ladies. So that she says, "Hanashim ma'akibin." Why would you have to stop the ladies? So that she says, "A big hadusha, the peturot legamre," because ladies are exempt from the mitzvah of shofar, as we know. It's a mitzvah alseh shazman gerama, bound by time. And any mitzvah that's bound by time, ladies are exempt. The mitzvah alseh shazman gerama, v'chi tak ika bal tosif. And when they blow the shofar, that she's holding according to the simple understanding, there's a bal tosif over here, which is the Torah says you cannot add to the mitzvah. You're exempt. You do a mitzvah that you're exempt from. So therefore it's issued because of Baal Tosif. The Maharsha over here takes the sheet to task. What do you mean Baal Tosif? Baal Tosif is only shayach if you're obligated in a mitzvah and you're doing it more than you're with the Torah prescribed. If you're totally exempt from the mitzvah doesn't apply to you. So he says there's no hayuv, there's no issued of Baal Tosif. So the different Acharonim try to explain exactly what Rashi is referring to. One of the interpretations of the Hachamim is actually the Sifte Hachamim. He says like this, if you're going to allow the ladies to blow the shofar on, let's say, Rosh Hashanah, there's no bad tosif. Okay. Really, you're right, they're exempt, but if you allow them to blow the shofar, they would make a kal vachomer. And they would say like this, and what if we're exempt from this mitzvah? And really, blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, if you're exempt, is really a sudra banan. Because making a sound out of a shofar is Yisud Rabbanan. And if still they allow us to blow the shofar anyway, so they're going to come and make a kavahomu when it comes to mitzvot. Let's say that they are obligated in, because shekendi can be mosif, whatever mitzvah they're obligated in. Which is like, it can be mosif on a shofar. I mean, I can blow the shofar tonight, even though it entails an Yisud Rabbanan, so certainly on something that I am obligated on, I can be mosif. And that's going to come to Bal Tosif. And the Siftei HaKamim makes a diyuk in Rashi, because if you look at the Rashi's Lashon, he says, V'chi tak'eh ika Bal Tosif. Which means, his Lashon, he doesn't say, Ofrim al Bal Tosif. Ika, there's an issue of Bal Tosif. Meaning, not in the actual case of the Shofar, but the ladies will come to Bal Tosif in another Inyan. And anyway, that's the Shita, that's the way that she's learning over it, that the concern was a bad Tosif issue. Tosafot, however, argues on Rashi. Tosafot says the reason why the ladies cannot blow the shofar is for the simple reason, because it would be Yisud Rabbanan. Because once you're exempt from the item, so blowing the shofar is Yisud Rabbanan, so therefore you cannot blow it. So it's Mahloket, exactly how to learn the reason why the ladies. Either it's a bad Tosif concern, either literally, like Rashi says, Mamashi holds that there's bad Tosif even in a mitzvah that you're not obligated in. Maharsha questioned Rashi. So therefore, the Mefarshi, like we said, Siftachim, will try to explain Rashi. She means not Bal Tosif, but it'll come to Bal Tosif
somewhere else.
But Tosfot learns simple. Tosfot says no. The issue of here is what? The issue is because you're making Yisud Rabbanan. Once you're exempt, It's Yisud Rabbanan. So comes the Gemara and says, Hanashim, second wide line. Hanashim, Makibim, but the ladies, we stop them. What do you mean we learned in the Braita? In Makibim, lo et Hanashim, velo et Tinokot Milit Kawa, Beyom Tov. We have a Beferush Braita that says you don't have to stop the ladies from blowing the shofar. So Gemara says, Amar Bayela Kasha. But no question. Harbi Yuda, Harbi Yosef, Harbi Shimon. It's actually Mahlok et Tanaim. Netanya, we have a Braita. The Ber El Bene Yisrael. This pasuk is referring to over the mitzvah of semicha. Which is, you know, we know when you bring an animal to the Beit HaMikdash, you place your hands on the animal with full force, and that's called semicha. So the Gemara makes it the Rasha. Bene Yisrael sumchin, ve'en benot Yisrael sumchot. So the Beit Bene Yisrael. So here the Gemara is being to rush the word bene to mean only the men of Israel fulfill the mitzvah of semicha. Ve'en benot Yisrael sumchot devrei Rabbi Yehuda. So you see clearly over the Biuda holds that when a lady is exempt, not only is she exempt, but she is forbidden to do the mitzvah. And therefore, according to this, would be an inyan, according to Rashi of Bal Tosif. And therefore, similarly, by the case of Shofar, when she's exempt from Shofar, it's considered Bal Tosif, and she's going to blow the Shofar. According to the Tosafot, he'll explain that just like the Biuda says a lady who is exempt from Semicha is Isur to make Semicha, why? So he'll say, that goes to Bal Tosif. Because if you're exempt from making simicha and you make simicha, it comes out you're using a korban. Because you're pressing your weight and you're leaning against the animal, that's already doing a service with kodashim. That's forbidden. So therefore, just like she's not obligated, it becomes asur. So too, shofar, she's not obligated, it becomes asur, but for different reasons. However, to be Yosef, to be Shimon, Omrim, Nashim Somchot Reshut. According to those Tanaim, Nashim can be Somech, even though they're exempt, but if they want to, optionally, they can make Simicha. Similarly, by the shofar, if they want to blow the shofar, even though they're exempt, they may. Comes the Tosafot on the top Tosafot, actually the big Tosafot on the top, Arabi Uda, Arabi Yosef. He comes along and says, "Omer ben Utam, afagav de stam at nitin can be Yehuda." Even though Al Mishnah is following the Yehuda, because Al Mishnah says, "Ladies, do not blow the shofar." It doesn't really say that. It says that you're able to let the children blow the shofar, implying that the ladies you have to stop them. Right. Who's that opinion going like? The Yehuda. So even though we have a stam Mishnah that's being ma'mir, halakha can be Yosef. He says, but we still follow halakha can be Yosef, meaning that if the ladies want to blow the shofar no shana, they can. Okay, because then the reason is with him. He has a logic with him. Umaaseh Rav. It says, Michal, the daughter of Shaul, Haita Manaha Tefillin. She used to put on Tefillin. Now, even though she's exempt from the mitzvah, still she was able to do it. So, what do you see over here? That even though a lady is exempt from the mitzvah, you're still able to do it. So, then we have Maaseh Rav. Therefore, ladies are exempt from Shofar, but they want to go to Shofar, they may. Now, Gemara, he continues, Veshto Shel Yonah. That's the prophet. Shaita ole leregel. She used to go up to the regel, meaning in the Yerushalayim. So also you see, no, they're exempt. She went and did the mitzvah. Ve'u of that the perik in Roshin. Deviunu la'azrat nashim v'samchu alav nashim kede la'asuk la'atruach le'nashim. Which means, in the Gemara Hagiga says, there was a case where they brought the animal to the Azat Nashim, and they let the ladies make Simika. So from all these stories, it's what's trying to prove that the halakha follows Rabbi Yosef, that even though the ladies are exempt, if they want to fulfill the mitzvah, they may. Now, the Tosfot goes on to another issue, and he says like this, Umutarot lebarech al mitzvat aseh shazman gerama. Furthermore, Tosfot goes to another level, that not only can they do the mitzvah, but they can even make a beracha. Afagav de peturot min davar mitzvah hai, umetaskot behem, even though they're exempt, but once they're involving themselves in it, they can make a berakah. What's his proof, Tosfot? Kemo Michal bat Kushi. Who's Michal bat Kushi? Michal is the daughter of Shaul. Shaul is called Kushi. Shaita gam mevarechet. Tosfot says that she used to make a berakah when she put on the tefillin. So Tosfot brings a proof that you can make a beracha. Veteda is, I'll bring you a proof. Damin and Perikah Chovel. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says like this. Me'ikara amre. Rabbi Yosef was blind. So Rabbi Yosef said about himself. Originally, I would have said, Man de amar alaka k'rabi Yehuda. Somebody that says alaka, that's like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said a blind man is exempt from the mitzvot. So Rabbi Yosef said, anybody that would tell me that Talakha follows a Rabbi Yehuda, Avida Yomat Tavad Rabbanan, I would have made a party. Why? Delo Mifkadna, I'm not obligated, I'm patur from the mitzvot, Ve'avidna, and I'm still doing it. So you see, Rabbi Yosef held at that point that even though he's exempt in doing it, that's a great zikuj. If anybody would tell me Halakha follows Rabbi Yehuda, that's someh patur, I make him a party. So I love to hear that I'm patur, because I'm still doing this if I get great credit. So Tosfot brings a proof. He says, V'im bimkom de patur min ha-davar ve'osu asun le-barech. Now if he would be forbidden to make a berachah because he's patur, imken amai avida yomatava. Why would he make a party for this halakha? V'alo haya mafsid berachot sisid v'lulav u'tfilin u'megilav v'narukav v'sukav v'avdalav v'kedushayom berachot shkiliyat shema shachrit v'armit v'chol berachot kulan. What is he making a party for? If he's exempt and you tell me somebody is exempt loses the berachot, that's nothing to celebrate. Ella must be that even though you're exempt, you can make a berachah. So that's Tosfot's proof how you know you can make a berachah. The Mefashim want to say it could be a zichaluk between a someh and a lady. A someh, a blind man, at least he's in the perasha, he's a man. He's in the species of hayuv. Mashiach and a lady is in the species of exempt. So that could be an exemption. In any event, the Tosfot holds the maaseh that a lady can make a beracha on mitzvah taseh shazman gerama, and that's the way the Ashkenazim or posek the maaseh that they can. According to Maran holds like the other rishonim that say no, a lady cannot say Asher kedeshanu v'zotav v'sivanu, because really she's not commanded. In the Torah she's speaking she's v'sivanu, and therefore ladies are, while they can fulfill the mitzvah, but they're not allowed to make a berachah. According to Maran, will be a berachah lebatalah. That's the subject of this Tosafot over here, whether ladies can make a berachah or not on the mitzvah taseh shaziman gerama. Comes the Gemara and continues. Aval metasekin ba'en ad shiyilmedu. So what we learn in the Mishnah, that when it comes to a katan on Rosh Hashanah, you're able to deal with them, meaning teach them to blow the shofar, in order they could learn. Okay? So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Azar, afilu b'shabbat. Wow. Now you can teach the kids to blow the shofar, let them blow the shofar, even on Shabbat. Now, what type of Shabbat are we talking about over here? So most of the Rishonim learn, we're talking about over here Shabbat Rosh Hashanah. Okay, Shabbat Rosh Hashanah, but the question is, on Shabbat Rosh Hashanah we make a gezerah, we don't blow the shofar. So how could you let the kid blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? No one's blowing the shofar. So some Rishonim want to learn, no, it's talking about Shabbat Rosh Hashanah in the case where there was a bed din. So remember we learned in the last Gemara that in front of Beit Din,
you could blow
the shofar, even after they made the Gezerah. So therefore, when it says on Shabbat, in front of Beit, means Shabbat means in front of Beit Din. Other one would say, no, not even in front of Beit Din. Because since bottom line, there's a mitzvah involved over here, so today we don't blow the shofar because of, let's say, a Gezerah. But even on the Shabbat, that is not in front of Beit Din, when it comes to Ketanim, you don't have to stop them from blowing the shofar. You can let them blow the shofar because bottom line, it is a mitzvah of shofar. So the question is, when it says b'Shabbat, to what extent? It's Shabbat Rosh Hashanah. Some Rishonim want to say it's even talking about a regular Shabbat. But we're going to go with the Rishonim, Shabbat Rosh Hashanah. So the whole machlokes is either it's talking about a case where it's mutar, meaning in front of Beit Din, or even in the case where there's no Beit Din, but since it's a mitzvah, the shofar itself, so therefore we let the children blow the shofar in order to learn how to make the tiki'ot. So comes the Gemara and says, Tanya Nameachem, we have a braita, mitasekin ba'em, you're able to mitasek, meaning engage with the children, ad shilmedu, until they learn, afilu b'shabbat, even on Shabbat. Then the braita says, ve'en me'akibim matinot kot b'litkoach b'shabbat. And you don't refrain them from blowing on Shabbat. Ve'en sarich lomar b'yom tov. And all the most just on a regular Rosh Hashanah without Shabbat, Certainly you don't have to stop them. Now there's a question in this Braita. Because the first part of the Braita says you can engage them, which means you can promote it. The second part of the Braita says you don't stop them. Don't make up your mind. So give us Hagufa Gasha. Amar b'tasekim b'hem. Achilamidu. Which means you can teach them, you can show them how to blow the tikiot. Achilamidu. V'afilu b'Shabbat. Alma l'chetahila amrinan. Tak'u. Which means you can tell the kids l'chetahila. Blow the Shabbat. Let me hear the sound. No, do it this way. Do it that way. You can teach them. However, Vahadar Tana, then you said in the Braita, what? אין מעכבים. You don't stop them. עיכובהו דלא מעכבינן. הלכת תחילה, לא אמרינן תקעו. It's much more like a tale. You don't tell them to blow shofar. So make up your mind. What is the braita really allowing over? Is it allowing like a tehillah to let the kids blow the shofar, or is it saying if they're doing it, you don't have to stop them? So the Gemara says, La kasha kan bekatan shegiya lechinuch. Kan bekatan shelo egiya lechinuch. It depends. Depends how old the child is. Let's read Rashi. כאן קטן שהגיע לחינוך מתעסקין בהם שילמדו. So once already he reaches the age of chinuch over here means that he's already able to blow the shofar, he's able to understand, he has an ability to learn. So then you can teach him. Why? Because since he reaches the age of chinuch, so now he's like not hayav yet, but he's going to be hayav soon. So therefore, you can teach him and coach again in ma'akibim, or the more so you don't have to stop him. However, kan bekatan chelo egiya lachinuch, which is already is less than the age of chinuch, according to the Shechti Yom Mahmir. In this case over here, if he blows the shofar, you don't stop him. But lechitaylat to teach him, no. So now she's learning that there's a bigger kula by a katan shegiya lachinuch than chelo egiya lachinuch. Now to understand this, so the Mefarshim say over here like this: Harishonim nechleku beesbed devrei Gemara. Rashi pidesh. שקטנים שהגיעים לחינוך מתעסקים בהם. You teach them. ויכול שכן שאין מעכבים. ולדבריו, אם לא הגיע לחינוך, אין מעכבים. They didn't reach the age of חינוך, you don't stop them. אבל לכתעלה, לא אמרים להם, תקחו. אבל בתוספות תקשו על פירושו. האח כתב שבחל בשבת מתעסקים אפילו בשבת. והרי אין מצוות היום בשופר. Right. So first of all, you tell me what? You're going to be lenient even on Shabbat of Rosh Hashanah? We don't blow the shofar. So you're going to let a katan shegiya lechinuch, you're going to tell him to blow the shofar. Ve'od madua bekatan shelo hegiya lechinuch en mitasekin. I mean, eventually the katan shelo hegiya lechinuch is going to become a gadol. He also needs to learn how to do it. So you don't want to understand why for this one year and for the other one, no. So he says, v'shitatri, shekatanim shegiya lechinuch en me'akibim b'shabbat. Which means a katan that reaches chinuch, you don't stop him on Shabbat. Aval lechet tehila, en omrim lahem tekhu. Why? Because once he reaches chinuch, there's isud rabbanan over here. Which means part of chinuch is what? Making sure that they don't make any isud. So therefore, it's the opposite according to Tosfot. The one that you have to refrain is the higiyah lechinuch guy on Shabbat. Because now already, if you're going to let him blow the shofar, well, we didn't blow the shofar, you tell me he's do isud rabbanan? But if he's blowing the shofar, you can believe. Rak shelo mafrishim otam letkom shum she im lo haya ze shabbat haya mitzvat hayom b'shofar. It is a mitzvah, the shofar. It's the only thing that's stopping it is because of the gezerah of Shabbat. So you don't have to stop them. It's like a regular isur. However, hu ketarim shelo higiyah lechinuch. Even they could let them blow on Shabbat. You don't got to even stop them. Which means teach them. Because they didn't reach chinuch. They didn't reach chinuch yet. So they're getting more lenient. So that we have a sevara hafukot over here. And what the... who's lenient? According to Rashi, we're more lenient on the katan shegiya lechinuch. But lo hegiya lechinuch? No. According to someone, it's exactly opposite. We're more lenient on the katan shelo hegiya lechinuch. Do whatever you want. Just go lo hegiya lechinuch. Blow on Shabbat even. However, the hegiya lechinuch, while we don't refrain him on Shabbat, but the chetayla to tell him to blow it on Shabbat, that's going to be asur. Comes the Gemara and says, "V'amitasek lo yasa," which means the one that is training the child, let's say, to blow the shofar. So he's making sounds. Now he's not having kavanah to be yotze. He's teaching. So therefore, he's just involved in making sounds to teach. So since that guy has no intention for the mitzvah, which is at all. Which means he's absent-minded, exactly. Just making sounds, so he's not yotze. So the Gemara says, "Hatokeya leshir yatsa." Right, it's mashma that only because this guy over here, he's not even having kavanah to make sounds even. Which means he's just making, different, let's say, noise coming out of the shofar. However, tokeya leshir, where the guy's having kavanah at least to make sounds, that sounds like it'll be good. Sounds for the shofar. Look at Rashi. Mitasek udolo. She'eru mitkaven litkiyah. I mean, he's not even having kavanah to blow. Ve'afilu delo mitzvah. Even not for the mitzvah. He's just, he's playing around. Like I said, he's absent-minded. Ela min ha'bayach nibuhay. Just blowing into the shofar, making noise. O Or let's say the guy was just blowing in the shofar and a sound came out. Amen. He didn't even expect the sound to come out. So he's not even have a kavanah to make a sound. Granted, the guy that's blowing the shofar to make music, he might not have kavanah for the mitzvah, but he's having kavanah to make a sound. So the kavanah is making a diyuk. A mitasek, the absent-minded guy that's blowing, not even having kavanah for blowing, right? He just blew into the shofar, a sound came out. Oh, look at that. That you're not yotzei. Mashma, if you had kavanah for the sound, but not for the mitzvah, could be, you are yotzei. That Gemara says, Lema Messiah Lele Rava. Let this be a proof for Rava. Why? Dama Rava Atokeya Leshir Yasa. Because if you remember, according to Rava, Rava said mitzvot enam sirichot kavana. Right. And therefore, you don't have to have kavana, it doesn't matter.
I made a good sound.
I made a good sound, so it counts. So the Gemara says, no. Dilma Tokeya Leshir Name Mitasek Karile. Gemara says, no. Maybe that's also considered in the realm of Mitasek. When you mitasek doesn't only mean absent-minded, where the guy didn't have kavanah to blow. Even if he has kavanah to blow, he doesn't have kavanah for the mitzvah. Maybe that's also called mitasek. So if you have no proof, you can't. Your whole diyuk was what? Mitasek is no good, but shir is good. Who told you? Maybe in the realm of shir, if mitasek is also shir, and therefore mitasek is no good, and the shir is also no good, and therefore you have no ra'aya. Comes again, but says, the mitasek lo yatsa. Somebody that hears from a mitasek is lo yatsa. Again, this guy over here is blowing the shofar. He's not even coming out to do anything. He's just blowing and the sounds are coming out. So you happen to hear the sounds from this guy. So as shomeya min a mitasek, you hear from a guy who's blowing absent-mindedly, you're not yotze. So the Gemara says, v'shomeya min a mitasek lo yatsa. But let's say a guy's blowing the shofar, he's blowing with kavanah to be yotze, but for himself. That's a shomeya and a mashmiya, which means he doesn't have kavanah for the guy. He doesn't even know the guy's there. Smashma, in that case, yatsa. Only in a case where the guy who's blowing it is a mitasek, it's no good. Because he's not even having kavanah to blow. But if the guy's having kavanah to blow for himself, smashma, the guy who's listening, will be yotze. So the Gemara says, אבל השומר מן המשמיע לעצמו מה יצא? You want to tell me it's יצא? למה תבט יופתה דרבי זירה? If that's true, then this will pose a question against the Bizra that we learned earlier. Why? Where was the story with the Bizra? If you remember, the Bizra told his Shaliach, Ikhaven Vetakali. He told him, listen, have Kavanah and blow for me. Which is according to this, what we're just saying now? No, he shouldn't have to tell him that. As long as he's blowing for himself, and you heard it, it should be enough. So we see obviously that the diyuk of this Mishnah is against the Bizera. So the Gemara says, no, Dilma, Aidi, de Tana Resha Mitasek, Tana Sefa Name Mitasek. No diyuk. Which means, since the beginning of the Mishnah was talking about a Mitasek, that's the guy that was blowing the shofar for his child, he was teaching his child, they called him a Mitasek. So the end of the Mishnah just said, Ashomeya mina Mitasek, mina Mitasek lo yatsa. But not only a mina Mitasek, even Shomeya from a Mashmiya lo yatsa. Oh, so why don't you tell me Mashmiya? We're using the word Mitasek already in the Resha. So once already we use the word Mitasek in the Resha, we use the Mitasek in the Sefer, but you have no Raya that against the Mizera. Because really, I'll tell you, even a Mashmiya. Yeah, because
it's. Not this, Mitasek lo yatsa.
Okay, fine. That's the mitasek lo yatsa. Yeah, mitasek lo yatsa. Veshomem in the mitasek lo yatsa. What do you mean? We said mitasek because we're talking about mitasek at the beginning of the Mishnah. So therefore, then we use the loose mitasek. But who adin mashmiya? I mean, you have to really tell the guy have kavanah for me to be yotze. So we have no question against Rabbi Zera. Come together, Mishnah. Now we discuss the seder of the tikiot. Now our Mishnah is going to discuss that in Malchuyot and Zichronot and Shofarot and the Hazara of the Amidah. We must blow the shofar at each one of those intervals. According to one opinion that we learned yesterday. According to another opinion, you didn't blow in Malchuyot. You actually blew in Kiddushat Hayom, Zichronot, and Shofarot. But the point is, in each set, they would blow a Tiki'ah, a Tiru'ah, and a Tiki'ah. So therefore, it was three minimal sounds that were blown. Every Tiru'ah has to have a Tiki'ah before it, and a Tiki'ah after it. A Tiki'ah is a straight sound. The way Gemara calls a Tiki'ah Pishuta, because it's a straight, long sound. Tiru'ah, the Gemara is going to give different understandings of what it is. Either it's short staccato sounds, like we go tu 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 tu, or it's a longer sound that we call a shivarim. The Gemara is going to learn exactly what exactly the Tiru'ah is supposed to be. Because Tiru'ah is a vague lashon. Tiru'ah literally means a crying, wailing sound. So the Gemara is going to discuss how you get to that sound. But the first part of our Mishnah to discuss how long the sounds have to be. So the Mishnah begins. Seder tiki'ot, regarding the order of the tiki'ot, shalosh, which means they're at three intervals. Malchuyot, zikronot, and shofarot. Shel shalosh shalosh. And each one has three sounds. Tiki'ah, teru'ah, tiki'ah. So again, seder tiki'ot shalosh. The order of the tiki'ot is three, meaning you have three intervals for malkuyot, zikronot, and shofarot. Shel shalosh shalosh. And each interval, there is three sounds. Meaning a tiki'ah, a teru'ah, and a tiki'ah. We would call that tarat. Okay, that's the way we say it. Now, the Gemara Mishnah continues, Shi'ur tiki'ah kishalosh tiru'ot. The shi'ur of one tiki'ah, or actually, shi'ur tiki'ah kishalosh tiru'ot is like three tiru'ot. Now, what does this mean? That the shi'ur of a tiki'ah is like three tiru'ot? We'll see. The shi'ur tiru'ah and the shi'ur of a tiru'ah is kishalosh yevavot. Now, according to that shi, a yevava is a short sound, meaning a koshu, like two. That would be considered a yevava. So shalosh yevavot would be two, two, two. The shi'ur that it would take to make three yevavot, three minimal sounds, so that's the shi'ur of a teruah. And what is the Mishnah saying? Shi'ur tiki'ah kishalosh teruot.
It would be like one tiki'ah would be nine.
So that's what it sounds like. It sounds like that a tiki'ah is going to be nine. However, the Mefashim are going to explain over here that shi'ur tiki'ah, that the shi'ur of a tiki'ah, meaning, look at the top Tosfot, shi'ur tiru'ah kishalosh yevavot, right? The shi'ur of a tiru'ah is three minimal sounds, pirush bekontras, shelosha kolot be'alma kolshu. Okay, three minimal sounds. Now, let's understand shitat Rashi here. He says it, yebaba hu kol katsar kolshu. Vimken, ma sha'amru shi'ur tiru'a kishalosh yevavot, haynu shi'itka shelosha kolot kitzarim. Tu, tu, tu. V'tiki'a hi be'orech shel shelosha kolot kitzarim. And one tiki'ah equals a tiru'ah. It's one for one. She's one tiki'ah equals a tiru'ah. So a tiki'ah is the shi'ur of what?
Three.
It's just a straight sound with the shi'ur of three. Now, how does Rashi understand the lashon of the Gemara? Shi'ur tiru'ah kishlosh yevavot. The machloket over here between Rashi and Tosafot on what the shi'ur of a yibaba is. As we learned, Rashi holds a yibaba is a short sound. So when the Mishnah says that a teru'ah is three yibabot, that means a teru'ah is two, 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 three short sounds. When the Mishnah says in the beginning that a shi'ur of a tiki'ah is shalosh teru'ot, the Mefashim understand that it means that all the tiki'ot of all the sets, meaning of the first tiki'ot of all the sets, meaning the tiki'ah of matkiyot, the tiki'ah of zikronot, the tiki'ah of shofarot, those tiki'ot equal three teru'ot, which really means it's one for one. One tiki'ah equals one teru'ah. Since according to Rashi, one teru'ah equals three yibabot, which is three short sounds, that means a tiki'ah equals three short sounds. Tosafot agrees with this interpretation, but he argues on what a yevava is. He says a yevava is three short sounds. Hence, when the Mishnah says shi'ur teru'ah kishalosh yevavot, that means a teru'ah is nine short sounds. Two, 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 two. And since a tiki'ah equals a teru'ah, so therefore the tiki'ah is one long sound and a shi'ur of nine yevavot. Comes the Mishnah and continues. Taka barishona. Now let's say you blew the first tiki'ah. Let's say malchuyot. And then you blew your tiru'ah. Umashak b'shiniya kishtayim. We had this case. And your second tiki'ah, you blew it extra long, which was the size of two. So you want it to be counted as two tiki'ot. One for the end of malchuyot, and one for the beginning of zikronot. En biyado ela achat. It only counts as one, as we learned in the Gemara, af suke tiki'ah lo paskinan. You cannot split a tiki'ah. Mi sheberach, ve'achar kach nitmana lo shofar. Which means a person, let's say, made a berakhara. She says it palir tefilat musafin.
And he made 9 berachot, right? And he didn't have a shofar at the time. Now, after he finishes the musaf, because normally you have to blow the tikiot in the musaf. So, Misha berach ve'arkak manel shofar, tokeya, omeria, ve'tokeya, shalosh pa'amim. So, you can blow the shofar 3 times after, but you don't think that it's ma'akev, that if you don't blow it in the musaf, then you can blow the shofar. No, you blow it after the musaf, you just blow 3 sets. Keshem shaliach sibur hayav, just like the shaliach sibur is hayav, which means he has to pray the Amidah, right? He has to make the Hazara. Kach kol yachid v'yachid hayav. So too every individual is hayav, which means an individual that knows how to read cannot be somech on the shaliach sibur Hazara, which means the shaliach sibur's Hazara is only for what? For those people that are not baki. But just like the shaliach sibur has to pray, so too everybody else has to pray. You cannot rely on the Hazan's Hazara for your Amidah. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Shaliach Sibur Motzi et Tarabim Yedei Chovatan. He says, no, a Shaliach Sibur can be Motzi, not only the Biki'im, but even Misha Eno Baki. That's a fantastic machloket. The Gemara will explain the nature of this machloket. But that's the simple interpretation. How far can the Shaliach Sibur Motzi? Is he motzi only the non-biki'im, the non-readers, or is he even motzi the readers? Comes to Gemara and says, you told me in the Mishnah that the shi'ur of a tiki'ah is 3 teruot. Gemara says, ve'at tanya shi'ur tiki'ah ketruha. What are you talking? We learned in the Bright that it's 1 for 1. Amar Abaye tana didan. Our Tana is counting the tiki'ot of all the sets, meaning the first tiki'ah of all the sets, and all the teru'ot. So therefore it's really 3 against 3. The first 3 tiki'ot, tiki'ah of milkiyot, tiki'ah of zichronot, tiki'ah of shofarot, equals 3 teru'ot of all the sets. Tana Baran, Tana of the Braita, Kahashiv Had Baba Betula. It's only considering one set, one blowing. Therefore, it's 1 tiki'ah for 1 teru'ah. They're saying the same exact thing, just in different ways. Now, automatically, once I know the first tiki'ah has got to be a certain size, the deen is that the second tiki'ah has to equal the first tiki'ah. So, therefore, everybody agrees it's 1 for 1. 1 tiki'ah equals 1
teru'ah.
Teru'ah. Comes the Gemara and says, and as she just says, "V'tarvayu hada milta amre." Both the Mishnah and the Braita was saying the exact same thing. Shi'ur teruah ki gimel yibabot. The shi'ur of a teruah we said is like 3 sounds. Ve'atanya shi'ur teruah ki shlosha shevarim. So what are you talking? It says that the shi'ur of a teruah is like 3 shevarim. Now shevarim is a longer sound than a yibaba. So yibaba is a staccato sound. Tu tu tu. A shevarim is more like tu. To longer. So make up your mind. Is it teruah 3 short sounds or 3 long sounds? Again, keep in mind, the Torah does not mention the word shevarim. The Torah just says yom teruah. So we have to figure out, what is this teruah? We know it's a crying sound, but there's different ways people cry. Sometimes people cry in short sounds, or in long sounds. So therefore, we're going to really have to figure out which of the sounds, or maybe both, the Torah was referring to. So comes the Gemara and says, "Amar Abaye, be'a vaday pelige." For sure, this is a machloket. In the first case, that a tiki'ah equals a teruah, for sure we're able to answer the Mishnah and the Braita to make shalom. But here, regarding this Braita that says the shi'ur of a teruah is like shlosha shevarim, for sure it's arguing on our Mishnah. Tichtiv yom teruah yehiyeh lachem. The Torah says clearly that it should be a day of teruah. Umetargeminan. What's the targum of that? Yom yebaba yehe lechon. What is yebaba? Which means a day of crying. How do we know that? Uchtiv beimed Sisera. When the mother of Sisera, Sisera was the goy general that was delayed. He did not come back from the war. So it says be'ad halon nishkafa, by the window. The mother of Sisera was looking. Vatiyavev em Sisera. And the mother of Sisera was Miyabib. She was crying. So now we learned Pirush. It says in the Torah, Teruah. The interpretation of Teruah is Yebaba. What does Yebaba mean? Yebaba means crying. How do you know Yebaba means crying? From the mother of Sisera. Because it says she was looking by the window and her son wasn't coming home yet. So what was she doing? She was scared. So she was crying. Now, Mor Sabar Ganuhe Ganah. Mor Sabar, one rabbi says that when a person, let's say, is sick and he's crying, he cries in long sounds, Ganuhe Ganah, in a moaning sound, a long sound, like a Shevarim. However, Mor Sabar Yalule Yalil, that the way a person cries in a sobbing sound, which is short sound. Rashi says, Manda Amar Shevarim Sabar Ganuhe Ganah. כאדם הגונח מליבו כדרך החונים שמאריכים בגניחותיהם. Like a sick person, like long sighs. ילולי יליל, כאדם הבוכה ומקונן קולות קצרים, סמוכים זה לזה. So because that we have a fantastic מחלוקת תנאים now. When the Torah says תרועה, תרועה, we all agree it's a crying sound. What type of crying sound? Is it a תרועה crying sound? Or is it a שברים crying sound? So either way, whatever it is, it's going to be three of it. Which means when it says Tenu'ah equals three Yebabot, that's the short sound, short crying, Yelulei Yalil. Or is it Tenu'ah equal three Shevarim, which is the longer sound, which is Gannuheh Ganah. So it's a Mahloket. Tanei, one says the Shevarim of the Torah is the short sound. No, the Tenu'ah of the Torah is the short sound, which two. Or the Tenu'ah of the Torah is the Shevarim, which is the two, which we would call a Shevarim. Again, we didn't get to what we do yet. Nice. But now we just learned there's a great mahalokit exactly how to interpret Tenu'ah. Yes. Is Tenu'ah a short sound, which we would call that Tenu'ah, or is it a Shevarim? And what is that based on? How do people cry? Nice. Well, people cry both ways. The question is, what did the Torah have in mind when it said that? Taru Rabbanan, Minayin Sheva Shofar. Now Gemara goes back to basics. How do you know that this is done with a shofar? Tenu'ah doesn't say shofar. Talmud lomar ve'avarta shofar. Tenu'ah. By Yovel, on Yom Kippur, the Torah says, and you shall pass through with a shofar b'tenu'ah. So therefore you know on Yovel, Kippur, it's a shofar. Eni ela b'yovel. Berosh Hashanah minayin. Talmud lomar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. So it says over there, in the seventh month, she'en tamud lomar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. It didn't have to say in the case over there of Yom Kippur u'b'chodesh ha-shevi'i, because we know we just took that Rosh Hashanah. We know we're in the seventh month already. So what does it have to say in the seventh month, on the tenth day? We know we're talking about the seventh month already. So umat tamud lomar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i, she'u kol teru'ot she'chodesh ha-shevi'i ze kaze. To teach you that all the tiki'ot, or the teru'ot of the seventh month are equal. That just like the Tiki-Tiru'ah of Kippur is with a shofar, so too the Tiru'ah of Kippur Rosh Hashanah is with a shofar. So how do you know that from? From the extra Ubayom HaShivi'i. Again, Bahosh HaShivi'i. Did not have to tell me we're in the seventh month. I know we're in the seventh month already. Why Rosh Hashanah told me you're in the seventh month? Then I told me Bahosh HaShivi'i on Kippur. Ella's coming to tell me what? That all the seventh month Tiru'ah are equal. Now, uminayin shepeshuta lefaneha. How do I know that the Torah doesn't say anything about a tiki'ah? By the way, all the Torah says is tiru'ah. Now, how do you know the tiki'ah? How do you know there's a tiki'ah before it? Tamud omar ve'ha'avarta shofar tiru'ah. So the fact that it says ve'ha'avarta, that means you should do something before. You shall sound the shofar before the tiru'ah. So from there they learn they have to do a tiki'ah before the ba'avarta. Ba'avarta is straight, meaning a straight sound. Ba'avarta shofar, mean blow a straight sound from the shofar before the tiru'ah. U'minayin shepeshuta la'achareha. How do I know there's a straight sound after? Tamud omar ta'aviru shofar. Because the pasuk says ta'aviru shofar, which means ta'aviru shofar asechem. After, right, after the tiru'ah, Ta'aviru shofar, which means you blow another blast after. Ve'en li ela b'yovel, b'rosh Hashanah minayin, tamud omar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. She'en tamud omar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. Umat tamud omar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i, she'yu kol teru'ot ha-chodesh ha-shevi'i, ze kaze. That's she on the top line. She'en tamud omar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. Da katav lan b'chema mekomot yom kippur b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. Right, in several places we know that Kippur is in the seventh month. Right, ve'akai yom kippurim ketiv, and we know it says Kippur. The explanation is that what? That we're learning that just like on Yovel, you have a tekiah before and a tekiah after. So to all the shofarot that are blown in the seventh month, meaning Rosh Hashanah as well, it's blown tekiah before and tekiah after. Okay, so that's how we know the enyan. Now when it says ha'avarta, Rashi just tells us pishuta mashma. Havarta is a straight sound. Ha'avarat kol echad. Ha'avarta shofar, teruah. And then after it says the word teruah, what does it say? Ta'aviru, the next Rashi. B'yom kumim ta'aviru, hare ha'avarat te'ilah v'sof utruah ketiva bintayim. Which means it says ta'aviru. Or ha'avarta. Then it says Tiru'ah, yeah. Then it says Ta'aviru.
Right.
So therefore you learn what? Ba'avarta is a Tiki'ah, straight sound. Then it says Tiru'ah, then it says Ta'aviru, another straight sound. So may you learn Tiki'ah, Tiru'ah, Tiki'ah. But that's only by Kippur. How do you know by Rosh Hashanah? Because it says Ba'chodesh HaShevi'i. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.